There's a company called Thales. This is a company from France. It's a global technology company focusing on big data, artificial intelligence, and cybersecurity. Also in transportation, let's take a look at one of their promo videos from 2020 in October. Look at this.
Hello, everyone. Meet Lucy, student in psychology. And me, her digital ID wallet issued by the government to offer a wide range of identity services. In fact, I'm a handy way of proving and protecting her identity both online and face-to-face. Let's have a closer look at what I can do. I can help governments to better communicate with citizens. Right now, I'm reminding Lucy of the appointment she needs to schedule for her mandatory vaccination. Time to go to her exam. Lucy is a bit stressed out. I'm here to make it easy for her to prove she is the right candidate with a quick and secure connection between her phone and the examiner's. Exam passed successfully. Quick stop at the doctor's before celebrating, and no time to lose. On the way, Lucy uses me to declare her passport lost. She needs it for her upcoming road trip. No issue. She can request an emergency digital passport without having to go to the authority office. I make official admin a lot smoother. And that's not all. I can also help Lucy request a birth certificate, pay her taxes, or prove who she is when onboarding to new services, such as opening a bank account. I allow Lucy to certify her healthcare coverage entitlement. She's able to decide whether to authorize the doctor to access her medical records or not, ensuring her control over her personal data. Lucy needs one more thing before being all set for her trip to Australia: renting a car. I help her share her driver's license credentials online so that she doesn't have to wait hours in a queue to collect the car when she gets to Brisbane. The rental company benefits from secure and accurate information, and Lucy from a smooth experience. Lucy's friends are waiting for her inside the bar. To allow her to get in, I simply generate a QR code that proves Lucy is old enough, so she doesn't have to share all her ID details with the bar staff. So yes, I'm Lucy's best companion. I protect her identity and official credentials wherever she goes. I provide secured access to public and private services and allow her to have full control over her data privacy. In other words, I give the right access to the right data to the right person. I am also trusted by governments to best support countries' digital transformation, fight against ID fraud, and deliver smooth public services. I am the Thales Digital ID Wallet.
Wow, that is chilling. You know, I think that's like the third time I've watched as we prepared for the show, and I just recognized something I hadn't before, that the actress playing that role, normally it sounds like she should be like bubbly and smiling and really psyched, but watching it again, she constantly looks like she's getting bad news. She's looking out the window with like a sense of dread. I mean, she actually is playing the role, as I think we will all feel, somewhat controlled and dark and dismal about the world around us. But clearly, this is a giant company, and I'm sure they're not the only ones out there competing for government's business right now. Just think of the investors in companies like this that are looking to sell technologies not to like people in a Walmart, but to governments for every single human being to have to use. These are the largest types of products that the world is looking at right now. The investment must be massive, and what we're up against is it's terrifying. Because you know that's where they want to go. And I've said before, I think that we won the battle of COVID. They wanted something just like that by the time we finished up with COVID. Maybe it's why, you know, Biden doesn't want to let it go. But folks, this isn't going away.
Right. Travel, healthcare, restaurants, even schooling. If you want to see what a soft launch of some of the, you know, similar technology looks like with the government really pushing on it, you look to China. Yeah. And just recently, something interesting happens in China is they're starting to relax some of the restrictions. So these are the mainstream headlines coming out of China, which are kind of differing from what we've really reported on. China eases quarantine rules, flight bans, insists it's not giving up on zero COVID-19. So it's still going zero COVID. But here's the real conversation, just like just like what you just talked about, as the wave of COVID and the fear and the restrictions just backs off, what's left, you know, sitting on the beach there? And this is the question people are asking in China. China says it's beaten COVID. So is the pandemic now an excuse to control its population? It says in here, the zero COVID regime has supplied proof that control over every aspect of people's life is doable, said Yanzhuang Huang, a Chinese public health expert at the Council on Foreign Relations in New York. It's not hard to imagine that components of the QR code system brought in for zero COVID could be retained to facilitate state control as part of a bigger agenda to re-engineer Chinese society. And that's kind of what looks like what's happening. It says, people have to scan the QR code for the most basic activities. Remember the video we just watched, entering a shop or restaurant, taking a bus or train, going to the cinema. If the app shows a green result, they can continue. If it's red, usually meaning they are an undefined close contact of someone who tested positive, they are sent to quarantine. And we've seen some of those quarantine camps. But what's interesting about this is you have the banking component or the social control component of this beyond COVID. So this past summer, there was some rural banks in China that just basically froze people's accounts because there was a bank run. People all were trying to take out their money at once. The bank said, you can't get access to your accounts anymore. And some people had their retirements in there, so on and so forth. So there was a protest plan. The people that were going to protest all of a sudden had their QR codes turn red, which meant they were a close contact or someone who was a close contact, and they had to go to quarantine. They couldn't travel. And here's the headline. This is CNN. China's bank run victims plan to protest. Then their COVID health codes turn red. Now, an investigation was brought into this, but this is some of the ideas of what could happen with this greater control. And if you think, well, it's just China.
Let me think about that just for a second. Like, and this scared me even when we were talking about contact tracing. Remember, and we're still doing it, right? Every time we take that app and we get the menu in a restaurant, right? We're clicking that menu. That was all part of contact tracing. So that if someone at that restaurant ended up getting sick and I was there, they could have quarantined me. And then when you imagine authoritarian governments, and if you believe you can trust them, I don't know how you could, but what's to say they don't just make it up? In that case, well, you were against us in the banking issue. We're just going to make your phone, which is your life now, your leash, say that you were in the vicinity of someone that had COVID. I mean, it's an elusive, imaginary, invisible enemy now that we're all being protected from, and we can isolate anyone we need to. The moment we need to, on the assertion that somehow we've got information that you could be a carrier.
Exactly. And the conversation goes beyond China. It goes, well, that's just China. And they're really ahead on that piece because they're a little stronger on their populations with control. Or,
well they're communist and we're not.
Right. Or that was just for COVID. And, you know, COVID's over. We're not seeing the infections anymore. So obviously, we're not going to do the passport here in the United States. Think again. This is the G20 summit. It just ended in Indonesia and Bali. And this is the Indonesian Minister of Health. Really, this is the headline that came out of it. Breaking: G20 panel calls for global digital health passports. America is part of this G20. And listen to the Indonesian Minister of Health. This is what he had to say. You're not going to believe it.
So let's have a digital health certificate acknowledged by WHO. If you have been vaccinated or tested properly, then you can move around. So for the next pandemic, instead of stopping the movement of the people 100%, which clogged the economy globally, you know, you can still provide some movement of the people. Indonesia has achieved, G20 country has agreed to have this digital certificate using WHO standard, and we will submit into the next World Health Assembly in Geneva as the revision to international health regulation. So hopefully for the next pandemic, we can still see some movement of the people, some movement of the goods, and movement of the economy.
I mean, it's incredible when you think these health ministers, their approach to health is forcibly injecting us with products that have never been tested for safety. And then to achieve freedom, we enslave ourselves with basically an ankle bracelet like we're in prison that allows us to move around freely, those of us that are complying to the mandate of untested products. I mean, the whole thing is horrifying.
And he did not say the COVID-19 vaccine. There was no words in there about just the COVID-19 vaccine. He said for vaccines, and he said for the next pandemic, which led me, listening to that, you may lead people to believe, well, that's maybe if they come out with a shot for some next pandemic 50 years in the future. But the White House on its own website after the G20 released this declaration. This was the G20 Bali Leaders Declaration. And this is what it says in there. Under, it's a gigantic document, but when it's talking about vaccinations, it says, we acknowledge the importance of shared technical standards and verification methods under the framework of the IHR. So those are the International Health Relations 2005 to facilitate seamless international travel, interoperability, and recognizing digital solutions and non-digital solutions, including proof of vaccinations. Then it goes on to say, we support continued international dialogue and collaboration on the establishment of trusted global digital health networks as part of the efforts to strengthen prevention and response to future pandemics. That should capitalize and build on the success of the existing standard and digital COVID-19 certificates. So I thought we didn't have those in the United States. And now the White House is saying we need to build on the success of the digital COVID-19 certificates. That's kind of a complete opposition of what the public is being told and what is being reported on.
Yeah, it's outrageous, you know, and to see the United States of America, sort of this harmonizing event where all of our technologies can speak to each other internationally. And when you look at this, what is so shocking about this as Americans, and we're an international show, for those of you out there watching, you know, we have a sense when we grow up here in America that we believe in freedom and we are not a part of some globalist movement. We stand on our own. We don't sign off because other countries say so. But here in the failure of bringing about really a COVID passport here in America, it almost feels like our government is going to defer the power to the WHO and international bodies, which is what I've been saying here. I am deeply concerned that the decisions being made for the United States of America are no longer being made from inside of our borders. All of this G20 event is directly intertwined with the World Economic Forum and all of these other groups that are really looking at the globalization of the world, which means we just become second-class citizens in a web of control, authoritarian control, and we love what we're seeing. I mean, the fact that this is coming out of Indonesia and China, and we are following in their footsteps instead of them following in ours, really, really just disturbing developments, to say the least.
And this really locks in with some of the reporting we did before COVID for people that are just tuning in now. And we were talking about we're warning about a digital passport system for vaccinations. And that is what the UK, there's a driving document. It's actually the European Commission, which is the executive arm of the European Union. And they have a document there. It's called Strengthening Cooperation Against Vaccine Preventable Diseases. This was in 2018. And you can see here, one of the quotes from here, it says, this is kind of a guiding document of what they were hoping to do at that time. Examine the feasibility of developing a common vaccination card passport for EU citizens that takes into account potentially different national vaccination schedules and that is compatible with electronic immunization information systems and recognized for use across borders. Well, if you look at this image from this document, they give kind of a timeline of this. And again, before COVID, you see it starts in about 2018 and it goes, the timeline of deliverables, and it goes all the way to 2022. And in 2022, it says here that it's considered delivered, that action item is considered delivered in the format of a commission proposal. And that commission proposal is this. It happened in April of this year, the regulation of the European Parliament and the Council on the European health data space. So there it is again, this digital space. This is the kind of the war zone we're really fighting for here of trying to keep control of our information, but not let it be used, our medical information, vaccines particularly, not let it be used to control us.